Send a movie idea.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here at the Dream Factory are very simple. We can discuss as many of your ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where in 10 years' time, it will be the last original idea not created by the constantly evolving and terrifying AI platforms that are creeping into our lives. I'm Joel, a man who puts the hubba-hubba into rhubarb and custard, and across from me, E-by-gum! If it isn't John Harris, a man who's so afraid of AI has fled to Yorkshire, a small village in the corner of Yorkshire, which I imagine feels pretty untouched by ChatGPT at the moment, John.
I mean, I'm surprised we're able to talk to each other over Wi-Fi, frankly.
I'm pretty impressed. I thought there'd be some serious lag. Are you having a lovely time?
Right. Where I sit, I can see bubbles flying past the window from children playing with bubbles in the garden.
Because I don't think that's a specific Yorkshire experience you're having there.
The Yorkshire waterfalls are famously bubbly.
Are there waterfalls?
Oh, there are waterfalls.
I think I've been to them.
Every sort of, you know, like the brown road signs that mean like, here's a tourist attraction. It's all about waterfalls around here.
It's very waterfall heavy.
And nice. Wensleydale, the cheese, which I told Joel before the call. I went to the factory.
Waterfalls and Wensleydales. They're two of the UK's finest W's.
100%. I think cheddar is obviously our big cheese.
Yeah.
Wensleydale's sort of underground cheese that's best known as Wallace's, from Wallace and Gromit's, favourite cheese more than anyone actually consuming it. But let me say it first, it's a delicious cheese and I'm very happy for it.
Straight from the source. It's for me, Wensleydale, it's got such a big place at Christmas.
They're
chucking all sorts of fruits in it. John, it's not just cranberries, they'll put anything in there these days.
I know.
I saw a whole banana in a Wensleydale this Christmas.
Yeah, there was a pineapple one in the shop. And
I made
ginger.
It. I made it. I sort of molded it with my hands.
You sort of impregnated.
It was absolutely foul.
You impregnated. It's not even... Wensleydale's isn't even a wheel of cheese. Joel had to make the hole for it.
Yeah. let's not talk about that. But I won't be invited back for Christmas. Anyway, let's do some film ideas. How about this one from
A Shoe.
A Shoe sent this one in, and the film idea is Soul, Disney Pixar, but it's about the bottom of a shoe.
Very good.
It's from Stew. Send it like Shrek'em. Why is it not just bend it like Shrek'em?
Well, I guess he's playing on the alliteration from the original title.
I think what he's done is hit the wrong key on the keyboard.
Are they next to each other? No, the S and the B aren't anywhere near each other.
Well, you don't know how Stew types. He's doing that everything's groovy surfer dude sign like this, John, where the thumb and the little finger are sticking out.
Yeah.
You know, the surfers do that on the west coast of America.
I know it. I've seen it a lot.
They sort of say rad and then they go like that. Yeah. Mm. And that's how Stew types.
With just those two, the thumb and his finger?
Just those two fingers, yeah. Because everything's gnarly all the time. Stew lives in a state of constant gnarliness and he can't escape it.
A thing that is sort of bolstering your theory about him being a gnarly dude is the fact that if it was alliteration, it should be shred it like Shrek'em, surely.
Shred it like Shrek'em. It should. Let's be frank, even for this show, is nonsense. It's sort of incomprehensible nonsense. Send it like Shrek'em doesn't really make any sense at all. What's Shrek'em and why are we sending it like that? Does a Shrek working in a post office?
That's what maybe. So the send it makes me think of that. But then also, if we're going to work on the sports stuff, that, you know, the analogy of bend it like Beckham, is it some sort of sport in that fantasy world that Shrek is very good at?
Well, this weekend, John, as I'm sure you're aware, was the EFL playoffs. And there was a guy in the League Two playoff who only a year ago was a UPS driver. So there's some sort of send it, bend it thing happening right there.
Listener, let me know if you also thought this was going where I thought it was, which was about some football player who looked like Shrek or was called
never,
Shrek.
I would never deign to do that. That's so below me to make comments on physical appearance, John.
I'm just saying maybe the general public's doing that, and you can decry it, but...
He drives one of those vans that hasn't got any doors, which I've never... Is that so they can hop in and out, the UPS guys?
It's very American feeling, isn't it, that sort of vehicle?
Is it safe?
What is safe in this day and age, Joel? As you brought up the AI stuff, me and Joel are in a group chat, and I sort of just spend a lot of time just spamming them with AI concerns.
Yeah, it's weird, John, because you are on holiday, but it seems like quite a lot of the holiday today has been spent sending us worries about the future of AI, which, I'll be honest, if I was sort of 5 minutes down the road from where they make Wensleydale and near a waterfall, I just wouldn't be thinking about it. I'd be thinking about when's my next cheese.
Well, we've got different priorities, mate.
I'd be more ChatGP Brie, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, send it like Shrekum. Shrek is working at the Fairyland post office, because I assume they have to send mail there. And he is scouted. He's so good at catching parcels, is what it is. The parcels get shot through a magical chute. We're all familiar with how the magic post office works. And he's so good at catching them and sorting them that he gets scouted by the Fairyland football side to compete in the World Cup of fantasy football. John, please help me out here. I'm just saying words. You are, for about 2 minutes, John, you were just sort of looking off into the distance then. And I was just saying words. I might as well be a fucking AI.
Joel thought I like it had frozen because of the Wi-Fi.
You just drifted off.
But I had, no, I was trying to think, like I was thinking about in that universe, a lot of messages are sent by like a man on a horse with a scroll. And so it's like Shrek sort of creating some sort of like swampy truck that he is revolutionizing the way that they deliver posts in the kingdom.
That's good. He sets up a rival postal service.
Yes.
Very good. I'm into it.
There we go. Send it like Shrek. Would you like one from me before we go mad?
Yes, please.
What about this one from Andy? Paddingtonia, a cute bear joins the Peruvian ice skating team, but has its competitor's knees smashed in his pursuit of winning Winter Olympic gold.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. I'm hoping that the Paddington sequel, that's what we call the third one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a sequel to the sequel.
Sequel.
Threequel?
No, sequel.
A sequel. So I'm hoping that the Paddington sequel sees Paddington get mean. You know, the first two films, let's be honest, they've had everything except for ultra violence and swearing. And that's where I need Paddington to go now. Because, hey, the kids, John, that enjoyed Paddington 1, they've grown up. They are probably 16 now. They're seeing some of the most violent acts imaginable on TikTok every day. Paddington needs to up its game. And so Paddington ordering a hit on another bear in the Peruvian ice skating team seems about right to me.
Yeah. Something happens to Aunt Lucy and he just goes full John Wick.
John Wick. Yeah. So Paddington does it. Paddington does the killing.
Yeah, I like...
Or maybe he just, you know, he's been buttoned down by that coat and marmalade sandwiches for too long that he just goes primal. He's a fucking bear.
True. Something just sort of switches his brain. He goes back to bear mode.
That's the elephant in the room here, John, when we're watching the Paddington films. He's a bear. At any point, he could flip. You know, those sometimes a circus animal will suddenly be like, I'm not fucking standing for this anymore. I'm going to eat the lion. I'm going to eat the lion tamer.
I'm an elephant.
Yeah. I'm not going to let these kids feed me peanuts and get whipped backstage. I'm going to fucking smash the gaff up. Maybe that's what Paddington's like. Wait a minute. I don't like living in a townhouse in London. I want to roam free in the wilds of Canada. Is that where you get bears?
Yeah, I think so. So like, it's got to
I reckon Paddington kills the family that he lives with. Maims them and escapes.
To bring it back to Andy's thing, is it like a case of maybe there's an... He's fully into the ice skating stuff. He's learned how to ice skate and stuff. He's being polite as you know, punch. And then someone cuts themselves on the ice skating ring and he just sees blood and just loses
that's good.
It.
Well, maybe family holiday to Canada, because in Canada, John, lots of wild bears, lots of ice.
Yes.
And so Paddington goes back to... discovers his kin, the wild bears, and the sport of ice skating all at once, and he won't leave. And he becomes, maybe becomes sort of a national hero in the NHL, playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs or something. There you go.
I like that. He's, you know, he, I've got
maple
a lot.
Maple syrup replaces marmalade.
I've got a lot of love for Paddington, and I do genuinely think those films are wonderful. And I think his politeness is almost a superpower, but it does result in him being messed around a little bit, being made to look silly. And he's sick of it.
No more Mr. Nice Bear. That's the message of the next Paddington film. How about this one from George? Banshees of Inception. Brendan Gleeson goes into dreams to stop being friends.
So
is he going into other people's dreams and kind of breaking up friendships, or is he going into his friend's dreams and telling them to fuck off? That's funnier, isn't it?
And then in the daytime, is he just like, I don't know what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's a slow burn campaign where he enters their dreams every night. But instead of Freddy Krueger style killing them, he just is mean.
He says, I think you're a dick.
We've all been in that situation where a partner has dreamt that you've cheated on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day they've said, I am absolutely furious that you slept with Renee Zellweger last night. And you say, I didn't. I was merely laying in bed next to you, and Renee Zellweger and I haven't spoken in months. And they say, I'm furious. And it's normally just fun fury. It's a fun little light bit of fury.
Yeah.
Well, how about Brendan Gleeson goes into your dreams and it's just a bit mean and a bit off with you in your dreams. And the next day you wake up and think, I'm kind of annoyed with Brendan Gleeson and the way he acted with me last night. And if he entered your dream every night for 6 months, I reckon eventually it would colour your opinion of Brendan Gleeson and you would sort of write him out of your friendship circle, which is what he wants.
Even though I pushed you in this direction, upon sort of you telling me the story, I actually do think it's funnier the idea that you hire Brendan Gleeson to go into your mate's dream. So they come to you and they, Brendan Gleeson came to me in my dream and said that you think I'm a dick.
He's like a dream hitman.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. It's like a weird version of Cameo. Yeah? You can hire any celebrity to go into a friend's dream. See, John, I think you worry about the wrong things. You worry about AI. What I worry about is a futuristic version of Cameo where people can hire celebrities to enter my dreams. Imagine if they hired your favorite celebrity in the world. And at night, and they said, look, here's 500 quid for the next 3 months. John, who's your favourite celebrity in the world?
I don't know. Paddington.
Is it? Okay. It's the voice of Paddington, Ben Whishaw. I say, hey, Ben Whishaw, for the next 6 months, can you enter John's dream and tell him he's a dickhead? That's what I worry about. That's the future I worry about. And you don't seem overly concerned with it.
No. You know when you just sort of hear a sort of new piece of terrifying information and you don't know whether to laugh or cry? I'm just sort of at that stage.
Have you ever bought a Cameo for anyone?
No. I don't think so. My son is obsessed with TV's Dr. Ranj. And if...
Ooh.
I think we mentioned this previously. And if he had Cameo, I'd definitely get a message for my son
you
from
get
Dr.
A
Ranj.
Cameo. Well, I worked with Dr. Ranj once and we went to the same school, so...
Oh, hello. Get me a video, mate.
If that helps the sort of Joel-John-son relationship in any way, that would be pretty handy because that's been a bit frosty recently.
There's been a lot of beef brewing.
Well, he's kind of intellectually surpassing me I can see it in the next sort of 2 or 3 months and I'm trying to hold him back by removing all of his learning aids.
Joel's a very jealous little man.
I'm jealous of... Yeah, I am jealous of smart babies. I've always said it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What about this one from Oscar? Goat Busters.
It's good. So it's a crew of dudes in New York, and there is a prevalent raging goat problem in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
It's like
because
that
of climate change.
Okay, here we go.
The mountain goats have come to inner city New York, right?
Yeah.
Don't ask why, because I'm just assuming that mountain goats live somewhere that is going to be adversely affected by climate change. And so all the goats have migrated to New York City Center, and there is a goat problem. And only the goat. Who are you going to call?
Goat Busters. Is there not a city that is infested with goats? Have I made that up?
Infested?
I'm sure there is in the real world. No, I love it. I think, you know, goats are quite annoying. They'd be sort of chewing up lampposts and you're sort of everyone's shrubbery. Bill Murray sort of says something witty and kicks him in the face.
He's got a big vacuum cleaner.
That's disgraceful.
That's good. It's good. Yeah, I don't know if there's a real city infested with goats. I feel like we'd hear more about it.
It's sort of like, do you remember that tweet that went viral that turned out to actually be way more true than everyone realised, where that guy kept complaining about the fact that 50 feral hogs would come into his garden every night?
30 to 50 feral hogs. Yeah, and there's that, I think it's in Australia maybe, there's that place where spiders just fill the skies. Have you seen that? It makes me feel so sad.
That is,
I think about it every, there's just spiders in the sky because their webs are so big and long. You walk out and there's like 100 spiders in the sky.
No, I couldn't handle that. Not happy about that.
No. And there's also Pig Island, everyone's favourite.
Pig Island. That's fun and harmless.
Yeah, a boat capsized that had pigs on it and hundreds of years ago, and the pigs swam to a lovely uninhabited island, and then there's just generations of pigs down the line swimming around having a nice time.
Would you be happy if you walked out in the morning and the sky was full of pigs?
Oh, what? When pigs fly? Absolutely. Would have mean all my wildest dreams have come true. The children's radio station you and I used to work for, John, had a song about Pig Island that I sing to myself maybe once a week. But I can only remember these lines. Pig Island, Pig Island, there's lots of pigs out there. And that's it. But that was 100% the song that was played on the radio station.
I also like that you say the children's radio station we used to work at, like as if there's a plethora of
I'm keeping it anonymous. I'm keeping it pretty anonymous. If you Google the words children's radio station, Joel Grove and John Harris, I'm pretty confident nothing's going to show up on the internet because there's not enough clues.
Well, no, because they made sure everyone was only named by their first name. So you'd have to go John and Joel.
John and Joel.
There were no surnames. When you join children's radio, you have to denounce your surname.
It's like in Men in Black when they burn their fingerprints off. You hand your documents over to the boss of children's radio and he expunges your surname from the records. It gives you a cool nickname. And if you're wearing a cap like John is, he turns it jauntily to the side and gives you a skateboard. He cut up your Oyster card and gave you a skateboard, didn't he, John?
And an animated sidekick.
And we all got, that was pretty cool. But what was really awful is that the day you leave your job, they just pull out a pistol and shoot the animated sidekick in the head right in front of you. It's an incentive for you not to leave. So everyone generally works there for sort of 3 to 5 years longer than they anticipated because they become so close to their animated sidekick. But you're leaving drinks and it's really awful. The sidekick doesn't know it's going to happen because they're kind of fun and clueless, right? You're leaving, dude. The boss of an anonymized children's radio station just pulls out a revolver, holds it to the head of the sidekick and says, "Are you definitely going to leave?" And he's got your P45 in his other hand. And you say, "Look, I have to go. I've been offered a job." Bang, pulls the trigger. And you have to deal with the messy corpse.
The last thing my sidekick said to me is, "What are we doing tomorrow?"
Oh, no. No.
Awful. Awful day. One of the worst days of my professional career. You've got to do it. You've got
not
to do
the worst.
It. Not a, you've got to do it to make it up, you know, through the professional ladder.
Yeah. It's cutthroat business, children's radio.
Would you like another one from me via a listener?
I'd love one. I'd love one.
What about this one from Josh? PPI robot.
PPI. The PPI is the insurance scandal.
Yeah, the thing, because it had like a deadline, there was a period where every phone call was about PPI and then there was a period where it just stopped.
John, can I make a confession?
You don't know what it is.
No, it's so much worse than that. When I worked at an electronics retailer in the late 2000s, my boss said, when someone was buying something and they were going through all the tick this box if you want insurance, tick this box, he said always tick the PPI. And so I think I sold it to loads of people.
Element.
When I was a little 16-year-old, look, I didn't know the rules.
You were following your boss's order. You didn't know what PPI meant. You were just told to tick a box.
I was told to tick the PPI box. You know, 16, it was my first job. Someone came in and bought a printer. Bet your bottom dollar they were printing out their PPI claim later on that decade. So, yeah. But I think it might mean that, you know, 10 years on, hopefully I helped out a lot of people get a nice little cash sum because they were wrongly sold PPI.
There we go.
No, I think about that from time to time.
Swings and roundabouts. So Will Smith sort of goes to track down the final bot that is still doing PPI calls for some reason. They haven't shut it down.
Yeah, Will Smith goes to kill teenagers in retailers. He travels back in time to 2007 and shoots me in the head.
Okay, that's not what I was expecting.
Pretty good.
Yeah, no, good. I'm sort of really happy with that.
Imagine
actually.
If I was working. Oh, I just said it.
I'll beep it.
Imagine I was working there, and I do feel bad about it, but again, I didn't even know what the letters meant at the time. Imagine if I was working in electrical retailer in 2007 and future Will Smith came in and just slapped me around the face as I ticked the box as a way to tell me to stop. It'd be astonishing, wouldn't it?
Do you think you would get the message, or do you think you'd need a few more slaps from Will Smith before you went, oh, so it's directly linked to this ticking of the box?
I would need a few. He would have to keep coming back, I think, yeah. And he would get more and more fed up each time.
Also, for anyone who listens to this show regularly won't need to do a lot of work to work out what retailer you're talking about because you've told many stories about your time there. it's not like you've never
I might have worked at multiple electrical retailers in the year 2007 to 2009. Good stuff. Well, let's move on quickly from that, John. Would you like a film idea from me?
Yes, please.
Here's one from me. Elemental, Quiet on the Western Front. Disney Pixar's next film is Talking Trenchfoot. It's gangrene. All of the diseases of the trenches in World War One are amorphosized. Yes, that's right. I'm going to say that. They all come to life and they chat to each other. Is Elemental real? I saw a trailer for it the other night.
It's definitely real, Joe. It's a film.
No one's seen it though.
I remember, so the listeners send us ideas and I will send them to Joe, half to Joe, half to me, right? And
send half to yourself, do you?
Yeah, keep half of myself. And I kept sending Joel Emmental, Disney Pixar's Emmental.
Oh, you did, yeah.
And for a few weeks, Joel just didn't do it. And then I realised, and then I did it because I realised Joel didn't know that this film existed and that was the issue here.
No, I thought you were on a different holiday near a cheese factory. I thought you were using me, you thought I was Google Maps.
As a French, actually on the subject of Emmental like factories, as a Frenchman, I should have walked around the Wensleydale factory just sort of spitting on the ground.
Yeah. That'd have been good.
No, I think it's a horrible idea, Joel. Diseases come to life. Mm-hmm. And so like, does the invention of antibiotics sort of, is that the hero at the end or something? Or
Yeah, because all the diseases are bad guys, obviously. And yeah, antibiotics saves the day. Or would it be antibiotics, or would it be like, what was the big guy at that time? It's got a name, John. It was found on moldy bread.
Penicillin is an antibiotic, isn't it?
Yes, probably. Why don't you ask your son? He probably knows more about this than me. Penicillin's the good guy, and it comes to life, and it comes to the trenches and cures everyone. That's my stupid film. I just wanted an excuse to say I don't believe anyone's seen it or will see Elemental.
Yeah, the Pixar stuff's getting a bit weird now, isn't it? Like,
what's going on? It just feels like Elemental is exactly the same thing as Inside Out.
Yeah, well, I think it's from the same team, but yeah, it does feel like they've gone, you know, the Inside Out idea, let's do it with elements.
Yeah.
You know, emotions we did last time. Let's do elements. So yeah, I do worry that sort of they've lost their sort of je ne sais quoi. But anyway, would you like an idea from me?
I'd love one.
Success Jun. An aging John Harris decides upon which of his two children to bestow Dream Factory co-hosting duties.
Wow.
That's me subtly revealing to the audience that I'm having a second child.
Woo!
So yeah, exciting in October. Yeah, so basically I get old. Joel somehow is, I don't know, found, you know, the fountain of youth. So he's still in his 30s. And so he needs a new co-host since one of my children.
Yeah, I was going to say, what role do I play in this? Am I like an aging, aging kind of, I'm young still. I wouldn't mind that.
Or, you know, you could also have, you know, potentially you could have kids and it's about us passing on the Dream Factory mantle to
That's better.
A new generation.
There's a sum total of four children and they're locked in a war. And here's the twist. None of them want it.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're sort of,
it's like reverse Succession. They don't, none of them want to host. Look, someone always has to host Dream Factory.
Yeah.
That's undisputed. And they have to have blood ties to us. We've said that since the very beginning. But they don't want it, John, because let's be real, movie podcasts hosted by two white guys, they're a bit passé now. By the time we're 80, because fashion's cyclical, they would have come in and gone out of fashion 10 times by that point. And it just so happens that at the moment of our death, they are out of fashion. No one wants to host them. So the kids are fighting over who wants it the least. You know, they do not want it. They do not want to be involved in this podcast. They're finding ways to try and keep us alive. They're investing in AI to see if they can reproduce our voices. And yeah, ultimately, two of them get lumbered with hosting Dream Factory for the next 50 years.
Lovely stuff. There you go. That's good.
That's a guarantee, listener. Dream Factory will exist indefinitely until the heat death of the universe. You're welcome. And we've got to go because I don't know. Shrek is driving in a UPS van. Well, I don't know what we talked about today. Well done, John.
Well done, Joe. How are we doing?
Did you have a nice time?
I did have a lovely time. I've got a fun story to tell. I don't want to overhype this but I do think it will live up to the hype. I've got an absolute...
Is it the anecdote of the century?
It's in the top three.
Wow. Okay, here we go.
So, Joel and I saw each other last week. We both went to the podcast show in London.
Movers and Shakers.
Us and our friend Jack sort of had a mooch around, and then I left you and Jack to sort of mooch further. But on the Thursday, I went for lunch with some agents, some really lovely podcast managers, really lovely. Mm-hmm. And we sat in a cafe just outside of the podcast show building. And as we were waiting for our food to arrive, what I believe was a chef from the kitchen of this cafe walked out holding a pigeon in his hands. He then proceeds to throw this pigeon into the street, where it gets immediately hit by a car.
No!
And then a seagull swoops down
and
starts throwing it against the wall, and then just proceeds to just gut this thing in front of where me and these two managers are having our lunch. It's just watching, just trying to talk about podcasts whilst a pigeon is being disemboweled right next to us.
So you already had your food?
We were still waiting for our food.
Oh, so you're waiting because the chef was too busy removing pigeons from the kitchen.
Yeah.
Did you think about it while you were eating? The fact that there's just pigeons in the kitchen?
It
put me a little bit on edge.
I was too busy looking at a carcass to really...
Yeah. How did it help with negotiations?
They signed. It wasn't that kind of conversation. It definitely gave it a weird vibe, and we definitely... They were nice. So we all sort of just acknowledged how weird it was. Otherwise, I could feel like some sort of a bit more stuck up professional people would just act like it wasn't happening. Whereas we were all just like, that's the weirdest thing we've ever seen.
Yeah, good. That's how you have to deal with that head on. That is fantastic. And then I'm assuming like a bald eagle came in and took the seagull away.
Yeah. And then a dinosaur came. It was great.
That is good. Nothing anywhere near that exciting has happened to me. So well done. Oh. Pop culture wise, I went and saw the Mario movie on Friday.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've heard about it, John, that they're taking the Super Mario Bros.
Yes.
And they're putting them on the silver screen. Yeah, the video game, they're putting it on the silver screen. It's pretty ambitious. I'm approximately, I don't know, 2 months late to the party. But I tell you what's interesting. Now, it was in a smaller screen at the cinema, but it was sold out. And there's big movies out now that would appeal to a similar age range. There's Fast and the Furious.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
10 as The Little Mermaid, as Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and Super Mario Bros. Are still a packed out affair. And it's made so much money. It's like a mega smash.
I think it's the biggest animated film of all time or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or getting there.
Yeah, so.
There we go.
So there you go.
I still haven't seen it.
I liked it. I went in, because I've heard quite mixed to negative things, I went in with really low expectations and as a result, had a good time.
Ah, there we go. Yeah, I'll probably wait for it on streaming. I'm very excited to have my son at an age where I can sort of just force stuff like that upon him.
Yeah, nice. He probably won't get some of the more niche references. Like there's a nod to the GameCube at one point. That might go over your son's head.
Is that a reference to the NES Super Mario Bros. Original? Is that a reference to the fact that he used to be called Jumpman?
Yes. You don't need to go and see the film.
Yes,
you're just describing it as it happens. Yeah. Oh, good stuff. What about you, John? Anything else apart from watching sort of pigeons be feasted on?
No, not really. Yeah, just mostly. I've got a taste for it now. Just sort of watching David Attenborough documentaries, just skipping to the bit where
banging
animals
for
get
blood.
Eaten.
You know, like when a football game's really tense and you'll stand up off the sofa and be like, as if you're in the action. That's what you'll do in nature documentaries now when they're going for the kill.
God. To be fair, there was that, this is the other way around, but there's that famous lizard versus like seven snakes video.
And that's some of the best TV ever. That is some of the best TV ever.
Did make you get off of your sofa.
So good.
Oh, well.
So yeah, there's our recommendation. A 1 minute clip from a 10-year-old David Attenborough documentary. Thanks for coming. We'll be here same time next week. Bye-bye, John.
Bye.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.